What a great song to sing just before a sermon where you're going to talk about what is heaven like. So I don't know who picked the music. Lori picked the music, and I appreciate her sharing that number here just before our message this morning. Today we're starting a series entitled Questions from Young Disciples. Back in the fall, our young disciples, our Little Roots kids down, sent me a list of questions they had and wanted to ask me about the Bible, about our faith, and so forth. And it was a pretty exhaustive list. And I thought, what am I going to do with this? And so I looked it over, and I was able to consolidate some of the questions and got it down to about five key questions that will answer many of the questions they had on this list. And so we've entitled this series Questions from Young Disciples, because that's where this series is originating from. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at some of these questions. And I think you'll see that these are questions that our kids just aren't asking, but I think you're probably thinking the same thing. I'd like to know more about that as well. That is a good question. And so today, with a question they wanted to know is, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? So I'm going to do my best to answer the question using God's word and trusting that he will give us greater insight and understanding. What is heaven like? You know what they say, the old adage is, seeing is believing. So I'm willing to give up the pulpit here this morning to anyone who's been to heaven and can come up here and tell me what it's like. Anybody want to take the sacred desk to tell us what heaven's like? Okay. Well, there's no takers, and so that makes it an even more intriguing question. And the good news is we don't have to go to heaven to know what heaven is like. We have the Word of God, which clearly tells us what heaven is like. And today we're going to look at one of those passages where heaven is described for us. One thing we can be sure of, though, heaven is real. It is real, and it will be wonderful beyond our imagination. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, has a number of passages that describe heaven, and I want to share just a few verses from one of those descriptions. This one in Revelation chapter 22, 1-6. And I think this will help get us thinking about heaven and exactly what heaven will be like. So for our first sermon in the question, in a series of questions from young disciples, what is heaven like? We're going to look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 1-6. Hear now the word of God. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. As we attempt to answer this question, what is heaven like? We need to set some ground rules to begin. First of all, while the Bible talks about heaven, Jesus rarely mentions heaven. In fact, he talks a lot more about hell than he does heaven. And there is no heaven passage. There is no one chapter that gives us a complete picture of what heaven is like. And so we have to look at various parts of Scripture to do that. Second, we cannot trust those who supposedly have died and gone to heaven and then come back. Those experiences are great for selling books, making movies, but the Word of God is a far more trustworthy source of information. And lastly, while the Bible does attempt to describe heaven, our language has limitations. And our minds cannot fully fathom what heaven is going to be like. We're limited in our capability to understand what heaven will be like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, "Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror," which is an apt description of how we understand heaven at this point. But it does go on to say in 1 Corinthians 13, 12, "Then we shall see face to face." In other words, there's a time coming when we'll be able to fully understand and fully realize how magnificent heaven is. The first point we want to make about heaven this morning is this. Heaven will be beautiful beyond description. Beautiful beyond description. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 2, describe the new heaven and new earth and talks of the new Jerusalem prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Scripture consistently describes heaven as beautiful beyond what our language can describe. Revelation chapter 4, John gets a glimpse into the throne room of heaven. He talks of jasper and carnelian and two beautiful gems. He sees a rainbow in that vision, resembling an emerald circling the throne. Heaven will be beautiful beyond description. We sang in that hymn about streets of gold, pearly gates. Our minds can't get an idea of how beautiful heaven will be. A little girl was taking an evening walk with her father, and in a wondering spirit, she looked up at the stars and exclaimed, "Oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side be like?" You know, we often look skyward and we marvel at the beauty of the created world. We marvel at stars, the sun, the moon, and how beautiful they can be. It was about a year ago this time that all of us in the middle of the day stood outside with glasses on to see a solar eclipse. Remember that? Yeah. For about, 2 minutes? I don't know how long it was. Yeah, it was very quick. And what did we do? We went, ooh, and ah, and how beautiful, how magnificent it is. But friends, well, that's on this side of heaven. We can only imagine what the oohs and ahs will be like when we get on the other side. Heaven will be beautiful beyond our best descriptions. And that's why John described the New Jerusalem as a beautiful bride adorned for her husband. There is a beauty to heaven that our language and our minds can't capture. But there's another point that helps us to understand what heaven is like. And the point is this: heaven will be without sin and perfect. Without sin and perfect. Revelation 22, verse 3 says, "No longer will there be any curse." No longer will there be any curse. Heaven will be a place of no mores. No more sin. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. In fact, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, we learn that God will do what? He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no mores. The world in which we live is cursed with sin. It's broken, and so are our lives. Our bodies are broken. They're failing at all the time. Here on earth, we age with aches and pains, but in heaven, there's none of that. There's none of that. We'll have renewed bodies that are perfect. We will never age, and there will be no sin. It will be perfect. You know, I can't remember the last time I was perfect at anything. It was probably a second grade spelling test or something like that, you know. I never preached a perfect sermon, never pitched a perfect game or drove the perfect automobile. And I have seen some tremendously beautiful places in this glorious world. But none of them were perfect. I've been to weddings and funerals. I've seen the beauty of a sunset over the water, the beauty of a newborn child. But as awe-inspiring as those moments were, they were not perfect. Heaven, though, will be perfect in beauty and in splendor. Why? Because there'll be no more sin. No more sin. The curse will be gone. The curse of sin that we deal with every day of our lives will be gone. John MacArthur is a well-known pastor and voice of the radio program Grace to You. He said it this way. He said, "In heaven there will be no sin, suffering, sorrow, or pain. We will never do anything to displease God. There'll be no temptation because the world, the flesh, and the devil will all be conspicuously absent. There'll be no persecution, division, disunity, or hate. In heaven, there'll be no quarrels or disagreements. There'll be no disappointments. Prayer and fasting and evangelism and repentance and confession of sin will cease because there won't be need for them. There'll be no weeping because there'll be nothing to make us sad. With sin and its effects erased forever, it will be a life of unimaginable blessing. I think it's well said by Pastor John MacArthur. As John said in Revelation 22:3, no longer will there be any curse. Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm sort of looking forward to that new body that I will have someday. You know, when your car is old and no longer functioning, you can trade it in on something new. And I would love to trade this body in on something new. How about you? A little amen out there from anybody else? And that's exactly what will happen when we enter heaven. We'll have a glorified body, just like Jesus had a glorified body upon his resurrection. Johnny Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic and a mighty woman of God, writes in her book, Heaven, Your Real Home. She writes the following, I can still hardly believe it. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives someone has a spinal cord injury like me? No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, new hearts, and new minds. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that we have. That this body that is failing us will be glorified, will be renewed, will be perfect. Our next point in regard to what we will do in heaven. Will we simply float around on clouds with harps and wings and, you know, sing to each other and check things out? Or what will we do in heaven? What will heaven be like? What will we do there? Well, the point is this. Heaven will be filled with joy and worship. And we could summarize that by saying that heaven is a place of perfect joy. Perfect joy. That's the kind of joy we're going to experience in heaven. Our joy in this life is always mixed with sorrow and discouragement and disappointment and worry. Sin, grief, and sorrow inevitably dampen our happiness. An honest look at life in this world produces more tears than it does real joy. Our lives here begin with the joy of childbirth, but are marked by trials throughout and inevitably end in the sorrow of death and separation. But in heaven, things are going to be different. Heaven is a place of perfect joy, of undiluted joy. And we will worship the Lord forever. Friends, I've had some amazing worship experiences in my life. Had some amazing worship experiences this week with the group that was with me down in Orlando for the D6 conference. But tremendous, awe-inspiring worship experiences. Some of those have been right here. At Mechanic Grove, or maybe at my home church growing up, or in various churches I've attended or pastored over the years. And I've worshiped with thousands of people at conferences and so forth, and I've been on the mission field and had some amazing worship experiences, and worship experiences in seminary with my fellow pastors. But I dare say they cannot compare to the worship that we will experience in heaven. Revelation 4 and 5 I encourage you to read those chapters, and you'll get a sense of the awesomeness of worship that you and I will experience in heaven someday. And the good news is that we will be able to do that forever and ever and ever. Pastor Calvin Miller shares this story. He says, I once led a man to Christ who loved the sunny country of common sense, but he could not put up with the mysteries of godliness. He kept shoving common sense at me, while I kept trying to show him that the mysteries held the meaning of faith. One day he said, Pastor, you know this new eternal life I have? Well, I've been thinking about it. What are we going to do all day long for eternity? Well, praise the Lord, I said. Forever, for 10 million years, we're going to stand around and praise the Lord. Well, yes, I said, although heaven was beginning to sound more like a cable television program. For millions and millions of years, he asked. Couldn't we just stop now and then and mess around a while, he asked. And I asked him about his dumb questions. But I have to admit, similar questions of my own at times. Our meager understanding of what praise and worship will be like in heaven is, I think, limited by our own mind's ability. It's going to be perfect. And we're going to worship the Lord forever and ever. And it'll be filled with a perfect joy. There's yet another point we need to make about heaven, and that is heaven will be our true home. Heaven will be our true home. I think there is a restlessness in this world that we cannot shake. And that's because our true home is in heaven. I remember when I was younger and or different parts of my life when I had to travel a lot, that there was nothing better than being able to get home after a trip, 4, 5, 6 days, a week, whatever it might be. To be able to be back home again in your own place and in your own bed. There's a restlessness when you're out and traveling. There's no place like home, we've heard it said for many years. But heaven is a reminder that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And that restlessness in our spirit will be gone when we get to heaven. An American tourist had visited the 19th century Polish rabbi Hafetz Chaim and was astonished to see the rabbi's home. It was a simple room filled with books, plus a table and a bench. The tourist asked, "Rabbi, where is your furniture?" "Where is yours?" replied the rabbi. "Mine," asked the puzzled American. "I'm just a visitor here. I'm only passing through." "So am I," said the rabbi. The world is not our home. We indeed are just passing through. Heaven is really our home. Jesus said as much in John 14 when he told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going there to prepare a place for you, so that I can come and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am." For 2,000 years, Jesus has been preparing our home. All our journeys here on earth are only trails leading to our real home, which is heaven. Charles Spurgeon once prayed, "May we live here like strangers and make the world not a house, but an inn in which we eat and lodge, expecting to be on the journey tomorrow." And that leads to our last point today. Heaven is where we will be with Jesus and our loved ones forever. We'll see Jesus for sure, and we'll see our loved ones who have gone before us, who have died in the faith, knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We will see them again. In a few months, many of us will have a summer family reunion. We'll gather somewhere, and family members we see maybe once a year will come, and we'll overeat, we'll share memories and stories of bygone days, and enjoy the company of others for a few moments. But that's nothing, nothing like the family reunion that we will have someday in heaven. Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ and wrote a number of books as a pastor and evangelist, and his last book, as he faced a terminal illness, was entitled "The Journey Home." Here is how Bill described that grand reunion. He said, "No reunion in history can even foreshadow what joy we will experience as we see loved ones and friends who went on before us. We are known, we are recognized, and we identify our loved ones, family, and friends. But what makes it most magnificent is that Jesus, our Savior, will be there and worshiped forever and ever. We will see loved ones again, yes. But more importantly, we'll see Jesus. We'll get to see Jesus face to face. Our focus will be on Christ. Our worship will be on the Lamb that was slain. We will be home. And we will be free. In our text today, John chapter 22, John says in verse 4, "They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads forever. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever." Heaven is where we will see Jesus. It's where we'll see our loved ones who have gone before us, who knew the Lord, where we will see them again. As the hymn we just sang says, what a day, glorious day that will be. The greatest fact about heaven, however, is that there's only one way to get there. And there's only one thing that will keep you and I out of heaven, and that is our sin. That's what keeps us out of heaven, is our sin. But if we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, He promises to cleanse us from that sin. You know, it's rather appropriate that we are having this sermon 1 week after Resurrection Sunday. Because it's only because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that there is a way for us to heaven. And that's what Jesus declared in John chapter 14. After promising His disciples, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back to take you to be with Me so that you may be where I am. I'm preparing a home for you." And they questioned Him, "Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." The resurrection of Jesus that we celebrated last week is our way to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord, living as a follower of Jesus Christ day after day, recognizing that this world is not our home, that we are just passing through, and that someday we will be in a place that's perfect, with a body that's perfect, and be able to worship Jesus forever with our loved ones who have gone before us, and there will be perfect joy. That, my friends, is what heaven is like. Heaven begins and it ends with Jesus. It will be a most perfect place. Let me close with this story. Several years ago, Dr. D. James Kennedy, pastor of the famous Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, joined other evangelical leaders in a meeting with President Ronald Reagan at the White House. During the meeting, Dr. Kennedy asked President Reagan this question: "Suppose you were to die and found yourself standing at the door of heaven. If God were to say, 'Why should I let you into heaven?' what answer would you give?" The president paused, thought for a moment, then replied, "Well, I guess I'd have to answer with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That is indeed a good answer, because our only hope of heaven is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to answer yet another question from a young disciple. But I hope today you have a better understanding of what heaven will be like. And all I can say is our minds are limited in our ability to see it and really envision what heaven will be like. But one thing is for sure: there'll be perfect peace there. There'll be perfect joy. We will worship forever. We'll be able to see Jesus and our loved ones who have gone before us. There'll be no more sin, no more curse, no more pain. All those things that trouble us in this world will be gone. And most importantly, we will be with Jesus. Friends, I hope you know it's only through Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. And I pray that you know Him today as Savior and Lord. And if not, why not make today your first day of walking with Jesus and trusting Him as your Savior and Lord, so that you can look forward to the wonderful, wonderful joy of life in heaven. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for various passages of Scripture throughout the Bible that help us to understand what heaven is like. And I'm thankful that our youngest disciples are asking questions like, "What is heaven like? What will I do there? What will I see? What will I experience?" Father, there's so much more we could say. But we are grateful today that there is a way for us to know the perfect joy, the perfect peace of heaven, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So we pray for those young disciples who are asking these questions, that indeed they have made their commitment to Christ as their Savior and Lord. And Father, if there's one here today who has never taken that step of faith, oh, I would ask in these moments that they would pray and invite Jesus Christ to cleanse them of all sin and enthrone Christ upon their heart as Savior and Lord, and live with the hope and the expectation of the splendor and perfect joy of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.